Blog Talk Radio.
I'm getting down to the sum of this, the sum of that, the sum of everything.
Hey guys, welcome to episode 22, day 22. The sixth call is here. Welcome to Come Get Some. I'm Chris C, Miami Six Man on your Twitter feed. You can also follow on CGS here on Twitter, and you can email CGS here at gmail.com. And you can go to the CGS, well, it's a comegetsome.com website and get all this information. Wow, a lot to get to, not enough time to get to it. But today I have Aaron Weinbaum on the show. He is the host of podcast Aaron Says What. He's an up-and-coming podcaster doing great things. He's very enthusiastic about UFC. If you're not into UFC, you probably will still enjoy this conversation because it's kind of like a ins and outs of it and kind of shows you different sides of it. Before we get into that, real quick, I want to get out of the way. A friend of mine, he's called me many things. I call him family. Pat Webb from DeadX Radio is getting some tests run. We don't know exactly what's going on with him. And if we did, I probably wouldn't be my place to talk about it. But I just wish him the best and all your positive energy and thoughts to Pat Webb, if you could. In the meantime, I want to address the 65-pound family dog in the room. I caught some Pokemon last week. Yeah, caught some Pokemon. And the doctor ran some tests on me and said I'm going to be just fine. I'm over it now. Anyway, last night the ESPYs played. The award show ESPN puts on for sports and athletes. A lot of celebrity fanfare, a lot of sports legend fanfare. And opening the show was Chris Paul, Carmelo Anthony, Dwayne Wade, and LeBron James. They gave a pretty good speech. If you haven't heard it, you should. It was capped off by this message by LeBron James. I'm going to play for you right now. You should listen up and hear this if you could.
We all feel helpless and frustrated by the violence. We do. That's not acceptable. It's time to look in the mirror and ask ourselves, what are we doing to create change? It's not about being a role model. It's not about our responsibility to the tradition of activism. I know tonight we'll honor Muhammad Ali, the GOAT. But to do his legacy any justice, let's use this moment as a call to action for all professional athletes to educate ourselves, explore these issues, speak up, use our influence, and renounce all violence. And most importantly, go back to our community, invest our time, our resources, help rebuild them, help strengthen them, help change them. We all have to do better. Thank you.
That was a heck of a message. That was the end of the message. The whole message was pretty solid all the way through. That message was out to all his fellow athletes, athletes everywhere from every sport, every athlete to do that. Now, we as citizens, all the rest of us in the world, you know, podcasters, lawyers, doctors, whatever you're doing for a living, we all have to do our part just to expand upon what he said there. We don't all have the same resources and the same notoriety as athletes do and celebrities do, but we all have the ability and the responsibility, really, to do better. So take that message that he gave to and that challenge that he gave to athletes everywhere and apply it to yourselves. I challenge you the same, no matter who you are. We have a lot of fixing to do. I've been myself in conversations with people with the whole Black Lives Matter versus All Lives Matter. It's the wrong argument. It's a distraction like everything else. A lot of times, see, they're on the same side of the argument, just semantics. So it's silly in the end. Just be better people and move on and do your part. And as long as you're doing right by yourself and others, then you're doing right and you can't be wrong. In the meantime, off of that subject, the family dog I was addressing is actually the family pet of the Weinbaums. I just got word, just saw on Facebook late last night that their family pet, Chock Chock, had passed away. It's not a joke. It's you know, it's a shame. I can tell you I have a family dog that's a rescue pet, and the pet's part of the family. The dog's part of the family. So my condolences and best wishes and hope The sadness passes soon for the Wine Bombs. Speaking of the Wine Bombs, it's time. Let's hear my conversation with Aaron, and hope you enjoy. It's part one of Aaron Weinbaum from Aaron Says What.
All right. Today, I have a friend and fellow podcaster from the hashtag world, social media world. He has really ramped up his podcast. It's become a real quality show over there at Aaron Says What. Please welcome to the show, Aaron Weinbaum. Hi, Aaron.
Hey. So you tell me it was a crap show before, and now it's quality, or?
Oh wow! So you're recapping what we talked about on your show? Okay, no.
Well, you just said it though.
Well, no, and I kind of said it on your show, and I feel like it came off wrong because I did state that your show was like you're just having some fun in the beginning, those hashtags, and talking about your family and talking about USC, and that you really turned it around and made it a real quality show. It wasn't not a quality show before because I was listening to it. So obviously
right,
there was
yeah.
something redeemable about it. It just, once you started taking it seriously, it just showed is all I was trying to say. It was supposed to be a compliment more than a detriment to what you've done in the past.
Well, we're good. I'm just giving you trouble, bud.
Well, I know that's your way, and that's cool. Gosh, man, have you heard anything decent in the news lately?
Nothing good, no.
No, man, I'll tell you what, it's really difficult, and I don't want to make this conversation about what's happening in the news, but just real quick to touch on it, it's hard for two white guys to sit and talk about this,
yeah.
but I want to know, how, just generally, briefly, how are you feeling about all this?
I mean, I didn't know we were going to go there, but I mean...
I didn't mean to.
People just need to stop shooting people. I don't know what else to say. You know, we can get into gun control. We can get into this. We can
right.
get into that. But, I mean, it's just, I mean, people hurting people is, it's stupid no matter what your politics are.
Yeah, I think you get to the point to where there have been some unjust murders by police. And when you get together and go, let's kill the police, and then the police get
yeah.
tougher, and then you have just violence on the streets. Before you know it, we're living in Mad Max Thunderdome. And I don't think anybody wants to live in that world. So hopefully we can level that out. All right.
No, I don't. Sorry if there's some noise. I'm outside. I had to take this outside.
Oh, that's fine. No one would have known. But now we do.
Okay, cool.
So you started out, when did you start podcasting?
I want to say it just a little bit over 2 years ago, and you know, I don't know. I don't even really know why I did it. I'm like, I like podcasts. I listen to a few here and there. I'm like, well, shit, I can do this. You know, I just talk about my family or whatever pops up. And it is what it is. It's like therapy without the therapist. You know, you get to vent, you get to talk, and you get a few people out there that acknowledge you that may not normally. So.
All right. Well, are you doing it for the acknowledgement? Why do you do it?
I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm a needy person. Who knows? But I just feel like I have something to say, and you know, clearly I have met some people that relate to me along the way, and it's fun. I don't know. It's just a challenge to get one out there to edit it, make it sound good, you know. And I like the feedback.
No, oh, that's cool. That's cool. Do you enjoy hearing people talk about how much it makes them feel to hear your show? How much they enjoy your show?
Oh, of course it does. You know, I had one. I've never talked about this before, but I had, you know, real nice lady, she follows me on Twitter, said, you know, she was going through cancer, and one of the highlights mm-hmm. of her week was listening to my show, listening to the broadcast, and hoping she made a top 10, you know, that I used to read, which I don't do anymore, but, yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm like, well, shit, I mean, how do I stop now?
Right, right, but besides the USC predictions, was that mostly what it was about, what you were doing over there? Was it about the hashtag game mostly?
No, it didn't start that way. It really just started me just kind of blabbing about whatever was going on with my family, which is always pretty interesting, and which I still talk about from time to time. And then the UFC came later, and I really went in there with no agenda, and I wanted to evolve organically, which is never a good plan, I guess. I don't believe in like the whole structured format. It's like, before our call, you were a little nervous about it. You're like, what are we going to do? We're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about that. And I was just kind of, I just thought it'd be cool. You know, it'll whatever we talk about, it will evolve into something. And every interview I've ever done, I just treat it like a conversation. I don't, you know, I don't prepare a whole lot of questions. Obviously, there's things I want to know, but I like it to evolve like a conversation, you know? Just two people talking, and you know, whatever it turns into, it turns into.
Oh, okay. All right. I just want to clarify. I was never nervous. I just wanted to make sure we knew what we were doing. And, gosh, man, I'm a little more structured than some people. I'm sorry.
Nervous may not be the word, but you were certainly stressed with concern about, you know, the format of the show, which totally understand.
And you're the guy that's like, all right, calm down.
I pretty much was like, I never yelled at you or nothing. It'll work out. I just told you it'll work out. Don't worry about it, you know.
I'll tell you what. One of the things that was really interesting about, you know, you talk about your family, and I think it's great that you are all about your family. I said that on your show. The thing was is you hear about it. But then I saw you on Facebook and I saw the troop together. You have a troop.
Right.
You can invest in each member of your family the way you do, and that they're having such great lives and such fulfilling lives is really a credit to you and your wife and your parenting. So good job there. Kudos to you, Aaron. You are one of the big things you like to cover is UFC.
Yeah.
Now, you're big on UFC. You get Tony Sechrist. I forget some of the other names you have on there to talk about it.
Jonathan Palmer,
yes.
The Stegel one. And then I had Adam Hunter, who is a comedian, who a good portion of what he does is makes jokes about UFC fighters.
Oh, that's great. That's great. I have to go back and listen to that because I have not heard that particular episode yet. I think I've listened all around it, which why would I listen around a comedian? That's awesome. How was he?
Oh, yeah. He was great. I've known him for a while. He's a funny dude. I actually got to see his act. His act is not an MMA act. You know, it's just part of what he does on the side. But, you know, it was legit. I took my wife to see him in St. Louis, and, you know, we met. And I knew him a little bit before that. And it turned out to be a good interview, you know. No spoilers, just listen to it. You know, it's just, like I said, man, just two dudes talking.
It's so funny because I said, how did it go? Like, I expect like, the host of a show that had a comedian to go, oh, he was terrible. He was the worst. No, I'm sure he was great. I want to go back and listen to it. I've heard that name before, so I just need to see if it's who I think it is. And I'm sure I'll find out very quickly.
Yeah, he was just on the Oxygen Network for a show, Living with Funny, with Michael Blackson and a few other guys. I don't know off the top of my head. It was funny, and he's got some other TV stuff coming up. I just don't know off the top of my head. But.
Yeah, we got to look out for that. You talk about UFC now. I don't know how much of a UFC audience I have that listens to my show, but I'm the guy that gets down to the sum of everything. So I'm getting down to the sum of Aaron Weinbaum, and part of that is UFC. And I introduce things to people, so I'll introduce UFC today. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
All right, man. Well, I'm a fan. I'm not an expert, so I don't train mixed martial arts or anything like that. I'm just a casual fan, you know, who likes to watch. And I don't know how much of my fans are into the UFC either, so that's why I always save it for the end. Except for my most recent, we did like a live cast. We just basically did a fight pass fight companion and then made our picks for it. I don't know when the show is going to come out, but today is the day that UFC 200 actually airs.
That's tonight.
So we
made
picks for that. Yep.
Now I went in. I went in to see Ronda Rousey versus the Brazilian lady, the one that was talking all that trash. Yeah. Yes. I went to see that one, especially since she was talking so much trash to Ronda, and also it was the whole write off the death of Roddy Piper, who gave her, who you know, granted her the access to the name Rowdy.
It's true.
So I was really into that, and I'm sitting there, and this thing went on forever. Like, I was doing live chats with a bunch of people who were into MMA and on Twitter, and I was going back and forth about.
Now the fight didn't last very long.
Oh no, the fight itself didn't last very long at all.
I mean, she face planted, and that was done. And then you know, Ronda took away the victory on that deal. I mean, the build up to that was really stressful, and she made some cracks about her dad committing suicide. And
there was a lot.
The best, Yeah. It was a lot of lead up, a lot of animosity there. But yeah, that was good. Did you see that live, or did you just get the pay per view?
I actually watched it live, and you know, through a semi legal source. So, you know, I did see. Legal was in there somewhere. So.
let me just clarify it now that I purchased all my content and I did not air any audio from the.
Yeah, definitely. That's where it really gets bad. You don't want to relay it anywhere. where was I? Okay? So I was waiting for that match, and I'll tell you what. As somebody who doesn't watch UFC very much, doesn't spend a lot of time with UFC, I got into it. I was about 5-6 matches in, 10 matches in. I'm going, this is pretty damn good.
Yep.
And then it kind of stalled out. And another 3 hours. It felt like 15 hours had passed. Well, no, but there was something special about that show, though, right? There was some agreement that they had to put on, like, 5 more matches than you normally would have put on or something?
You know, I don't know. That's going way back. It's been a while. I think it's even been a couple of years ago, so I don't know. It's
well, it was within the last year.
But you're right. It's a deal. It's a commitment. You know? I can't watch every fight every hour and whatnot, but usually, you know, we'll have some friends over.
Or it's a party. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like that with the Tyson fights back in the day. You'd sit through, and then you'd find out that the lighter weights had the better fights than the heavyweights anyway.
Yeah.
You know, the people you never heard of were scrapping, really working for their money.
I mean, it's easier when you know them personally, not personally, but I mean, you have a personal interest in them because, you know their story, you know where they came from or whatnot. But, like, real fans, you're right, the lightweights, they don't get a lot of credit, but they are the ones who come to scrap, for sure. You know, the heavyweights, I mean, shit, one punch, I mean, you got to watch. You know, it could be over in a second.
Now, in the undercard, do you see people come up the fight that you're going, who the hell is that? Like, are there people you don't even recognize that come in the fight?
Yeah. I remember the first time I saw John Jones. He fought Stephen Bonner at the time, and Stephen Bonner was no joke, you know, wasn't the prettiest fight in the world, but John was handling him. I'm like, who the heck is this guy? You know, either Stephen Bonner gotten really, really bad, or this kid is really, really good. And, you know, we all know where John Jones is now. Well, John Jones is on the sidelines, popped for a banned substance, apparently. But,
right.
But, I mean, he's considered probably the best, you know, the best mixed martial artist today, if he can stay out of trouble.
Right. So somebody wants to get into it, and that, cause here's the thing. It depends on how you get into it. I can tell you I didn't have a lot of access to UFC back in the early days, but the first fight I ever saw was like the beginnings of UFC when Hoyce Gracie took the title. And that guy was a spider. That guy could get around the human body and make somebody tap easy.
That's how I got interested. You know, we were, we're the same age, but, you know, I just remember running to the video store when these would come out, and, you know, we never got the pay-per-views or anything like that. I lived in a smaller town, and that pay-per-views weren't available yet. There was no internet, really, back then, and so we'd go to the video stores when they come out and rent them.
I think I have a VHS, the one with Hoyce Gracie. I have a VHS of that, and it was really weird because if I go right now and I go to, like, who's got it now? Spike's got UFC? Somebody, who's got UFC nowadays on a regular weekly?
Fox
has got it now. Okay. So if I go watch Fox and I watch UFC, it's almost like that tape, though. So there was, like, a bunch of undercard fights that went on forever where people were just positioning like a chess game. And, you know, almost like mat wrestling, like collegiate wrestling. And then there was two fights. There was the Hoyce Gracie fight. And by the way, if you ever hear anyone talk about who trained them, and everybody goes, oh, usually the name Gracie comes before it. Gracie family, you know.
There's a million of them for sure.
But when you go into, I'm watching, and there's one guy that, like, elbowed a guy so bad and bruised his ribs and busted his nose. And you're like, oh, wow, okay, because that's the car Ricky came for. What do you recommend for someone just getting in the UFC, just checking out how to approach it, how to approach it in a way that they don't talk themselves at it right away and go, this is terrible?
I mean, I don't know. You know, that's not a question for me. I mean, you're either going to like it, I think, or you're not, but there's lots of free content out there, you know.
To study up.
Videos, I mean. You know, you're either going to like it or you're going to think it's barbaric and a waste of your time.
Well, even
I can't. Go ahead.
Even I, as a wrestling fan, and I enjoyed that extreme stuff at the tables and the barbed wire because I'm sick and twisted. But
watch that.
I do. It's an addiction. But the thing, I'm a big wrestling fan. But the thing with UFC is even I thought it was kind of barbaric, and I was kind of staying away from it. But I've actually come to appreciate, it's probably because I listened to your podcast. I've come to the point to where I've grown to appreciate the skill, and Brock Lesnar himself, who makes his comeback tonight, right?
That's crazy, but yeah, he does against Mark Hunt, which I don't know, man. You want to root for Brock because he's just a big and looking dude, but you got to realize the guy hasn't fought in 5 years. Now, he's trained some, and he's obviously had to stay in good shape because he's a professional wrestler and this and that, but you know. Physique shape and fight shape are two different things, so who knows?
Well,
you know, you got Mark Hunt, who looks like just a fat dude off the street who can flat out go five rounds and kill a guy with one punch.
So what's his record, Mark Hunt?
I don't know. I don't know his record off the top of my head. It's a winning record, but it's barely a winning record. But most of those wins have come recently in the last few years. He did a lot of pride fighting and, fought in the Pride organization. It was a weird deal where the UFC tried to buy his contract out to where he would never fight again once they bought Pride. And Mark was like, no, I'm going to fight. And he lost his first fight, and then he came back and he started knocking dudes out, so much so the fact he actually had a title fight. It was, might have been an interim title fight. I want to say, it might have been about a year ago, and which he came up short, so... Really, kind of a neat story there.
Well, that speaks to something I was going to talk about. So this is a guy that came in, honed his skills, and learned how to do it, because it's not just coming in and punching people, which is what Brock Lesnar learned, I think, with Frank Mir, was it? Was it Mir?
Well, really, all Brock knew how to do, he's an NCAA, wrestler. All Brock really knew how to do is take dudes down and pummel them.
And then what?
And he kind of got away from that, and then... he started trying to stand with guys, and I mean, Brock Lesnar had, I don't know if you knew, he had diverticulitis, which is why he retired about four or five years ago. I'm not really sure how long it's been, and it's a serious deal. They took out part of his intestine and put him back together, and, he wasn't the same after that. He took a fight after that, got kicked in the stomach by Alistair Overeem, and that was it, and he retired. He says, I'm done, and then he says, I'm feeling okay, let's fight, and that's why he's back.
Right. I think he felt like he had unfinished business to some extent. But he learned, because was it Frank Mir the first guy he fought, or was it somebody else?
In the UFC, it was Frank Mir, and Frank Mir
made
him
tap.
A leg lock.
Yeah.
And he tapped, and then second fight went different.
Because Brock Lesnar learned his lesson. It's not just barbaric beating of somebody. There's actually some thought process that goes in, some strategy. So it's more than just barbaric elbowing and punching and hitting people into the mat.
And then that second time he fought Frank Mir, that was UFC 100. We have UFC 200 coming up this weekend. So that's 100 pay-per-views ago. So you got to realize the sport has evolved. The athletes have evolved since then. So I don't know what Brock is going to be up against.
Do you think?
It's hard for me to say. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm interrupting you. Go ahead.
It's hard for me to think that after 5 years laid off, a guy that's trained and fought, he's going to come up. It's not a, he's not fighting a ham and egger here. I mean, he's fighting a real deal, a real deal fighter. It's not just one they put up there for him to beat and look good and sell pay-per-views. So it's hard for me to think that after such a layoff, he's going to pull it off.
So you wouldn't predict Lesnar to win?
I would not, but don't bet on my picks because I am known to make bad ones.
That's the whole thing, is to see if you're right. The question I have for that is, I don't know how well you don't know the boss man over there in UFC,
Dana White.
So you don't have any real inside knowledge, but how do you feel about the notion that some fights are worked to help the organization shine?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's entertainment first, You're not going to sell pay-per-views unless you have people that are interested. Sure, there are fights that are put together for the fans. So, okay. I mean, you can't fault them for that. They're trying to make money, and the more money they make, the more money their fighters make. So it works out.
Do you think Dana White, in his wildest imagination, thought that Ronda Rousey would lose to Holly Holm the way she did?
Ooh. Man, you're asking me to speak for Dana White? I don't know. I can't answer that, man.
Did you, in your wildest imagination, imagine that?
You know, I knew she'd be tougher to handle, but no, I didn't think she would lose like that, try to stay on her feet and all that. Dana White did say that Holly taking that match, the one that Holly lost against Misha Tate, was a bad matchup and a bad business decision. And in Holly's defense, she just wanted to fight and move on, and she ended up losing.
So that was her choice.
Should have probably waited. It was. I mean, Dana's like, this is a bad matchup for her. Win or lose. Wait for Ronda, wait for the rematch. But no, and now she's not the champ, and now you got Misha the champ. So.
See, that's going to come back around again. Do you think Ronda's coming back? Because there's been questions about that.
I don't know. I mean, we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. I mean, there's a couple. She gets... there are two good matches for her. She can either go in and beat Misha for a third time and win the belt, which I think she probably does. I think she has Misha's number. Or she comes back and tries to avenge Holly, which I think Holly might have her number. It's just a bad matchup, man, because it's one thing to go in there and trip her and get her in an armbar, but you got to be able to get her down. And that Holly, she used to be a professional boxer, and she keeps her range pretty good. And just was one of those deals where Misha got to her, got her down, and choked her out the very last moments of the fight.
Wow. See, I felt like Ronda Rousey psyched herself out for that fight. Like she convinced herself out of it. She talked herself out of feeling she could beat her in her own mind.
She had some personal stuff going on, and I don't remember what all it was. Her mom told what a piece of crap her coach was.
Yep.
Got a boyfriend, Travis Brown, who's also a professional fighter on tonight's card, going up against Cain Velasquez, who had allegations from his ex-wife that he was beating her and all this other stuff. So, I mean, there was a lot of personal stuff going on, a lot of mental things she had. So, I don't know what kind of training camp she had. I don't know what her state was going in this fight. Only she does.
All right, so there's part one of Aaron Weinbaum. Just for the record, that show has already happened. UFC 200 is over. Aaron was incorrect. I actually, about 5 minutes before the bout started, tweeted out and predicted Brock Lesnar and Ms. Nunes would win their respective fights. That was right. Brock Lesnar won. So, nanny nanny, boo boo. Hate to kick a man when he's down. But so it was a lot of fun. Those fights were fun. It was a good show. And next week, Aaron and I will talk about what kind of fantasy booking, how we think it should go if Ronda comes back, and how we should get her in best position to make UFC shine and make Ronda Rousey have a big comeback that works and cements her legacy. If we were in charge, how we'd make that happen. Of course, it's not all set up, and it's not like professional wrestling where there's some scripting involved so much. It's you can set it up all you want. It's going to fall however it falls. Also, a lot of things have changed since this conversation. I believe Dana White sold UFC, and now he's part of the committee now or something. But listen to Aaron Weinbaum's podcast. By the way, I was on Aaron's podcast. Look, about 4 podcasts back. It's actually named after me, Chris. And it's this covers, we have a conversation about audio and podcasting and starting out in podcasting. And it kind of went every which way. It was a fun conversation just like this was. If you're enjoying this conversation, you will enjoy the Aaron Says What podcast on AaronSaysWhat.com. You can also find him on Twitter at AaronSaysWhat1. And for now, until next week when we revisit part 2 of my conversation with Aaron Weinbaum, complete with 10 questions that about sums it up. Do something good today.
I'm getting down to the sum of this. Some of that. The sum of everything.
Come, come, yeah.